It's time for Conversations in the Blue Chair, a bi-weekly podcast from the education team at Apartment Ratings and Satisfax, where we talk to renters and experts on trending topics impacting the multifamily industry. Now here are your hosts, Leah Nicole Smith and Jennifer Carter.
Everyone, welcome back for another episode of Conversations in the Blue Chair. I am Leah Nicole Smith.
And I'm your co-host, Jennifer Carter.
And we are the education team for Satisfax and Apartment Ratings. And today's topic, we are going to be talking to some pet owners. So we're calling this Pet Owners Speak Out. We asked current pet owners, just kind of giving us, you know, heads up on how they feel about their community's pet policies, what does it mean to be pet friendly. We're talking about all things related to deposits and fees and pet rent. And keep in mind that this episode does not include assistance animals. We are actually planning a separate episode in the future on that specific topic.
Yes, it's going to be a good one.
Yes, and much needed.
Yes, absolutely. So today's testers, we have testers that are from 18 to 65, and their income is $65,000 to $100,000. And again, these are current renters, and they currently, of course, have a pet, maybe even two, and they currently pay a monthly pet rent. So those are kind of the qualifications that we looked for in our focus group. And the first question we actually asked the renters is, what reasonable assumptions can be made if a community made that claim that they are pet friendly? So most communities, of course, have that sign or display on their websites that say they're pet friendly. And we wanted to know what was the reasonable assumptions being made if they say they're pet friendly.
Right.
First up, we have Alexis, and she actually has two dogs, and she is located in Somerville, North Carolina. So we're going to get her feedback in regards to that question of what does it really mean to be pet friendly?
Pet friendly apartments should have doggy bags in specified areas. Also, I feel like you should have walking trails or walking sidewalks around the apartment area. If it's dog friendly, that should be something that exists there. Those are the big ones, right? So past that it's up to the apartment complex and how much money is really being owed at this apartment complex, of whether you have like a dog park, but that dog park has like a doggy obstacle course and things of that nature. But definitely a dog park, definitely walking abilities, sidewalks or trails, and definitely doggy bags. And maybe like dog nights or dog parties or doggy get-togethers where people at your apartment complex can bring their dogs and like have a get-together, have a two-hour get together where they meet each other and their dogs meet, like a doggy play date. I think that'd be cool. I know a lot of apartment complexes are trying to have more community events, and that would be a really cool one for a dog friendly community.
You know, Jennifer, I think what Alexis was talking about is pretty similar to a lot of the answers that we got, you know, wanting that dog park. She mentioned events.
Yep. And those doggy bags.
The doggy bags. And so, yeah, those are like reasonable assumptions. You know, if you say you're pet friendly, you should have things in place for pets. Now, the interesting thing is that, you know, it's all of that is understandable if you have a dog, because obviously they need the pet stations, they need the walking trails and, you know, the dog park. But what about if you have a cat? So we actually have John, who is a cat owner, and John has a very different take on what pet friendly means to him. So take a listen, everyone, to what John has to say.
Pet friendly, I would assume that there would be little to no cost for having have pets. Little, I mean, like $10, $15 a month. Just closer to to nothing. If it's pet friendly, everyone has everyone is in the apartments are happy to have pets around. That kind of thing.
So no deposit, huh?
Yeah, just little to no fee.
Little to no fees, if not anything. He doesn't want anything. Which is an interesting take, rather, in regards to what he believes, you know, pet-friendly really means.
I think at least a deposit.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you on that. I can totally see a deposit and maybe not a monthly pet rent.
Right.
That would kind of be my take.
Yeah.
Kind of maybe merging the ideas together, so to say. So overall, pet-related charges have been in place for a variety of reasons and really for a long time.
Right.
Most of our participants, though, in our focus group did agree that they were okay with deposits and fees.
Okay, so the overall theme of what's a fair amount to ask for a deposit that we found when we were talking to the focus group was that it really depends on the previous experiences that they've had. So where they've lived before, you know, how much they paid at that community as opposed to their new apartment community. And the range that they gave us, which was pretty mind-boggling, was anywhere between $100 to $500 per pet in terms of a deposit. Not a fee, not a pet rent, but $100 to $500. How they determine what's fair was based on prior experience. Perfect example is Jordan. She had to pay $350 for a pet deposit for her dog Bandit, where she's currently living in Knoxville, Tennessee. However, when she lived in Denver, the pet deposit was only $150.
Very big difference.
That's a big difference,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we asked Jordan, what did she think? Knowing that she's paid $150 and now $350, what did she think a fair price would be just in general for a pet deposit?
So I think that the $150 we paid in Denver was pretty reasonable for a pet deposit. We got all of it back when we moved out of that apartment. And here in Knoxville, as I mentioned, it was a $350 pet deposit, which I think is a little crazy. That seems kind of high to me. I don't think... I obviously know why it's so high, because it is a townhome, so it's a little bit, we have a little bit better of a income within this neighborhood, and so they want people to make sure that they're taking care of the townhomes and things like that. But I think probably a fair price would be around $150 or $200 for a pet. I think the $350 for a dog seemed quite high.
Well, definitely her fair price is, I guess, on the lower side, right? She's thinking $150 to $200.
Yeah, because that's what she was used to.
Yeah, and that's kind of her, based on her previous experience.
Exactly.
So that's kind of probably what she expected, kind of moving even across the country. But as you mentioned, pet deposit is ranging, right, all over the place. Depends a lot of factors. Same with the amount of renters are paying in monthly pet rent. So our focus group actually gave us some great feedback, and they have... told us that we had seen as low as $10 per month per pet.
Per pet.
Per pet. And then we even saw as high as $250 per pet per month.
That is $500 on top of the rent.
And we had, one of the renters had two pets, and so she was paying that $500
yes.
on top of her, you know, monthly rent for her animals. I know, right? That's very shocking. So definitely want to know kind of what the explanation was given for this charge. You know, we asked some of the renters that information. So we asked our focus group renter, Alexandria. She lives in Townsend, Maryland, and she pays $200 per month for her cat, Izzy. And we want to see what she had to share in regards to what explanation she was given for this charge.
Yeah, because that's definitely on the higher end. And she has a cat.
Right. So she's not using any of those outdoor amenities.
Right. Let's take a listen.
So there was no true explanation given. Here in the complex, you were always allowed to have cats, and they just recently introduced being able to have a dog. I would assume, to be realistically honest, that the reason why they charge it is because they can, because I don't really think, especially with a small cat, that there's much like wear and tear on the apartment, maybe the way that a dog would do. So I think the reason is just because they simply can and choose to do it.
So Jennifer, let's just be honest with our audience for a minute.
Yes.
Folks, have to tell you that the 10 people that we spoke to in this focus group, not one of them said that they were given an explanation that they understood and were okay with when it came to pet rent.
So pretty much what Alexandria said, right?
Yeah.
She really wasn't given an explanation and couldn't really understand why.
Now, if you're charging $10 a month for pet rent, you may be able to skirt by with sort of the traditional, you know, it's to upkeep the pet areas, or it's, you know,
those doggy bags.
Yeah, the doggy
like, things to refresh.
Okay, I can work that into my mind that that's a plausible explanation. But anything, you know, $250, $200, we really have to, this is an opportunity.
Yes, a big opportunity. Especially, you know, as in Alexandria's case, she has a cat.
Yeah.
I mean, so ultimately, she's not really using any of those things that are around the community. She's not probably walking her cat. She's, you know.
Not hanging out at the dog park.
Right. She might not even be coming into the office to maybe if they have treats or anything like that. So, yeah, it's definitely an opportunity, I think, for us to kind of rethink.
Yeah. One of the focus group participants actually said, like, what choice do I have? You know, I have to bring my dog. I have to bring my cat. You know, I can't live without my pets. So if this is the rule, if this is what I have to do in order to bring my, you know, furry family members with me, then
they're going to do it.
Just what I have to do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I just think it's an opportunity.
Yes.
Opportunity for our industry to really start, you know, looking at ways to make that rent make sense.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's what it is. I don't think it's a bad thing that we charge in the industry, right? I think that's okay. But having an explanation and being able to share that with the residents so they understand, you know, what that is for, what that entails.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember back in the day when we went from like the standard rent roll availability to optimized pricing?
Yes.
And it was like one day the rent could be $1,200 a month. Next week it could be $1,300 a month. And leasing associates really didn't know how to explain that.
Yes.
To a prospect.
That's
it was
right.
Just sort of like, well, the computer tells us, you know, what it's supposed to be.
Right.
So this is, again, we're, and now with that kind of optimized pricing, the teams get it.
Yeah.
They know
absolutely
exactly how to explain it. They know exactly where that, you know, that dollar amount is coming from, or the fluctuation in the dollar amount is coming from. I think that's where we need to kind of get to when it comes to pet rent.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy to kind of think about. That's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we also talked to Brittany, who is in Lynchburg, Virginia, and she has a much different story to share about pet rent.
Yes.
So little background info. Brittany has had a pet in her apartment home for a while, and in January, her community just started charging pet rent.
She hadn't been charged prior to January.
Right. Now, one thing I have to say, full disclosure, I don't know if her new lease started in January, like her renewal, and now this charge is in place, or if this charge kind of snuck in, you know, like kind of during that time frame. But nevertheless, it caught her by surprise. And here's a little story from Brittany about that.
So I actually wasn't given an explanation, and I didn't even know that I was paying a pet rent until about a week ago, because I just paid my rent. And last month, I actually thought that my water bill, because my water bill is included with my rent, so it all kind of comes together, all in one like payment or whatever. But back in January is when they started adding a pet rent, and I was not even told about it, was not aware about it. Called them, asked them, and they said, oh, it's part of their new policy that everyone pays a pet rent. So I don't know. That was the only explanation I got.
All right. Well, hopefully that, you know, wasn't something where her new lease just kind of, or just kind of slipped in on her. Hopefully she had a start of a new lease, or there was some kind of information, I guess, given to her.
Yeah, so warning to all, it could be a big issue if you are sneaking in pet rent charges or any charges.
Or really, even if you had
existing lease.
Yeah, even if you had a rent and maybe you're increasing it, you definitely want to make sure you're communicating that information for sure. So yeah, that's definitely a good one. Transparency, I think really what it comes down to, right, is important to residents when they're asking to pay charges of any kind. No matter if it's at the beginning of their lease, in the middle of their lease, at any point, I think we just need to make sure that we are clear in what that information is about and why they're paying that dollar amount. We know that when
ambiguity,
thank you, is there, there's an increased chance of someone trying to shortcut the system. You know, maybe they might even have a pet and not tell you in the office, you know?
Oh, that never happens.
Right? Never happens. So we just want to be upfront with our residents as much as possible.
Yeah. So if they don't really understand or if they don't get why these fees and deposits are in place, you're going to have an element. I mean, let's be honest, right? Who are going to try and kind of shortcut the system. But if you get enough of that over time, that could really impact a community's bottom line in a negative way. That's income that you're not getting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or that's, I would say, you're not getting that protection from that pet deposit up front.
Yeah, so you need that.
If someone just moved in, only the security deposit, they sneak a pet in halfway through their lease, and they move out, and there's all this kind of damage, you really only have the apartment security deposit to fall back on because this person, obviously, you know, didn't play by the rules.
Right, exactly.
So, which brings me to another clip we're going to play. But we're going to have to keep this one anonymous. And if you listen to the clip, you will understand why.
I got my dog after I moved in, and I never... I'm supposed to pay a pet deposit per pet, and I didn't do that. So I think the monthly fee is kind of bogus. So I'm kind of sliding under the radar right now.
Well, I'm sure you can see why we had to keep her anonymous.
Totally.
Absolutely. So let's go into our five and five. So we want to kind of share with you some different ways or questions that you may be able to think about your pet-friendly and policy that you might have in place. So we want to kind of say, is it time or past time to have a conversation about those different ways to improve that experience as a pet owner? Because we know that a lot of renters have pets.
Yes, and a lot of renters make that big decision with their pets in mind.
Yes, because many of the pets are their renters' babies. They're
absolutely
they're part of their family.
So that's whether that's where to lease or whether or not to renew.
Yes.
They definitely take their pets into consideration.
Absolutely. So the first one we have here is... we've made the pet-friendly claim, right, on your website, or you maybe even share with a prospect about that if on tour or over the phone. But what does that really mean? So we heard from our renters kind of what they thought pet-friendly really means, but that's something that I think we can maybe reevaluate in today's marketing of what pet-friendly really means.
Yeah, and I think even above sort of that basic expectation of there are pet stations, there are walking trails, or there are doggy bags. You know, we have to look at what if you have a new resident who doesn't have a dog, they have a cat, or they have, you know, some other type of animal. What does pet friendly mean to them?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, because I think a majority of the times we think dog all the time, mm-hmm. but we can't leave out all of the, cat lovers or other animal lovers that have other pets.
true. So number two is the big question. The
Who's
pesky,
gonna be the first one?
I know, the pesky pet rent. And we do know we have clients who don't charge pet rent.
That's right.
So we know this is possible. But just in general, can you eliminate pet rent altogether? So let's say someone is paying that $15 a month or $10 a month for pet rent, right? Maybe adding an extra $100 to the security deposit and collecting that money up front to where the resident doesn't feel like there's just an additional charge every month.
It's like nickel and diming.
Yeah,
but yeah.
On top of what they're already expected to pay. Now, in the case of where you're getting $200 a month for pet rent, or we heard $250 per pet per month, you know, I don't know if that $100 deposit bump is going to do much for you. So if the thought is or the goal is not to eliminate pet rent, how are your people explaining it? You know, are they explaining it in a way that seems fair? It is plausible, it's reasonable to where the resident gets it. Okay, I totally see where that money's going.
Well, the word that keeps coming to mind for me is the value.
The value,
right.
Exactly.
We talk about that a lot.
Where is it going?
Yes, exactly. So the next one is look at your competition, right? How can you be more attractive in regards to your pet policy versus your competition? And, you know, ideally one way is maybe to get rid of that pet rent.
Maybe.
Or transition or shift it to that security deposit if you can, of course, eliminate it as a whole. But again, kind of look at your competition, see what they have in place, and how can you be more attractive.
Yeah, and we talked to the focus group and we asked them, you know, did you take into consideration all of these different deposits and fees and rents associated with your pet in making your decision to lease at the community? And we had a few who were saying, you know, well, I was looking at a couple of different places and I chose this one because they don't charge a pet rent or because the deposit was a little bit less. So it may not necessarily come down to the quality of the apartment home or the amenities that you have. It may actually be financial.
Sure.
A financial motivator.
Yeah.
So how can you maybe be a little bit more competitive in that area? And just because everyone is charging pet rent, like you said, Jennifer, does that mean you have to as well?
Exactly. That might be something that can differentiate your community.
Yes. And number four, we heard that pet friendly means that you should have some kind of little events for pet owners. But are there ways to improve on those events? You know, that we do have like the yappy hours. We see that a lot. You may even have, you know, where your dogs all gather at the dog park at the same time or whatnot. We actually had an example in one of our On-Site Insights Live about letting the dogs take a swim. Do you remember
that? Yes, that's
that?
The one I was going to mention. Yeah.
So go ahead and tell them about it.
At the end of the summer, before you're going to close the pool officially, you kind of have all the dogs come and jump in. You can probably do maybe like small dog hour and a big dog hour, but the pool's basically been closed for your residents, and then allows the pet owners to come and let their dogs jump in and swim around in the pool before you close it out for that summertime.
I love that idea.
I know, that's a great one. All right, so number five, promote a positive environment for future pet owners. So this one I think is a great one. And speaking of ideas, kind of thinking about ways we can do that, one is you can always offer to have the resident or prospect bring their dog with them on tour.
Yes.
I just think that's such a great idea. Have snacks, maybe you have a leash that has your community name on it, you know, ways to, A, stand out from your competition, let your future renters know you are pet friendly, and even let those animals come on tour and even use the amenities.
In regards to creating an environment, a positive environment, think of those residents that move in without a pet.
Yes.
And then somewhere during their lease, as in our anonymous, focus group participant, they get a pet. Has there been enough information? Has there been enough things that are going on to where, you know, I want to tell you I have a pet. Yes. Because I want to be a part of this. You know, I don't want to feel like I have to sneak my dog in because I just don't get why you're making me pay a pet rent. Mm-hmm. Or my cat.
Yes.
I think cats are the biggest ones when it comes to pet rent. I don't want to, you know, like she said, fly under the radar. Mm.
Yeah.
Because if I secretly have a pet in my apartment home, I'm not coming to the yappy hours. I'm not coming to, you know, the things that are associated with, you know, pets or events that you have. And I'm also not alerting you that there are, you know, that there's a pet in my apartment home, and heaven forbid, any kind of an incident.
Yeah, you know, that even work orders, maintenance, neighbors. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things, I think, that for reasons that we want to make sure that we know, you know, that they have a pet. And,
yeah.
And so I think going about it and creating that positive environment, like you're saying, and not that the renter feels like, oh, we're just, you know, the management just wants to collect the deposit or they're all about the money. But, you know, you care. And ultimately, you're making them feel that it's a great environment to have a pet.
Pet friendly, you know, let's just go back to that. It means that you welcome pets. Mm. You want pets to be at your community.
Absolutely.
So are we creating that kind of environment for people who either have a pet, like you mentioned, when they come to tour, or someone who is considering getting a pet while they're a resident at your community?
You know, a good way to also encourage that, I know a lot of communities may do like adopt a pet kind of thing, where the society kind of come and kind of hang out in the dog park, and here's all the dogs that are available. But again, it kind of shows you're pet friendly, and you can partner with somebody else, but just kind of creates that positive environment.
And that's a good way to know up front.
That's right.
You have a pet, pet in your community.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, everybody, that pretty much wraps up this episode of Pet Owners Speak Out on Conversations in the Blue Chair. We hope you can come back for future episodes, and thank you so much for your time, and we will talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
You never know who will be joining us in the Blue Chair. Click the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss a show. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Conversations in the Blue Chair with Leah Nicole Smith and Jennifer Carter, the education team at Apartment Ratings and Satisfacts. Educators, not data collectors.